This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Theater Conspiracy is currently running productions of Henrik Ibsen's 1879 classic play, A Doll's House, at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers. The story takes audiences behind the facade of an ideal marriage and challenges them to consider the cultural limitations placed on women and the roles of men and women in a traditional 19th century marriage. Later this hour, we sit down with the director and lead actress for a closer exploration of the play's themes and conflicts and their persistent relevance in contemporary society. But first, Emmy and Golden Globe-winning actress Jane Seymour joins our program today ahead of her visit to Naples this weekend. Seymour is a prolific actor, widely known for her work on the stage and screen, including roles in the James Bond film Live and Let Die, and of course the television series Dr. Quinn Medicine Women, to name just a couple. But over the past 25 years, she's emerged as a celebrated visual artist as well, creating intimate watercolor and vibrant oil paintings. She also enjoys success as a designer, including having created costumes and set designs for the Houston Ballet. She'll be making public appearances this Saturday and Sunday at the Mercado in Naples for an exhibition of her work organized by Roadshow Company. The exhibition also includes works by Seymour's son, internationally acclaimed filmmaker and fine art photographer Sean Michael Flynn. Jane Seymour, it's an honor to have you with us today. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
And I invite listeners to join our conversation as well. You can call 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Jane, first of all, you know you're well known and well regarded as an actor, but with painting, is that something that's been a lifelong aspiration of yours?
Absolutely. I've always drawn and painted, but I really kind of got seriously into it about 27 years ago, just about the time I started doing Dr. Quinn. I'd gone through a real emotional and physical crisis in my life. My marriage had ended. I dealt with a lot of betrayal, and I was left pretty much bankrupt. And my mother had always told me, you know, in life when things were tough, that there were always people worse off, and that was the time to give back and to open your heart and help people. So I did a donation for a child abuse organization I've been working with, a donation on a silent auction to an artist to do a drawing of my children. And this artist came to my house and saw my little finger paintings go down with my kids and offered to give me some free art lessons. And the next thing I knew, I just could not stop painting. It was healing. It was extraordinary for me. And then after that, you know, they ended up showing some of my paintings at the Guggenheim and raising money for Make-A-Wish Foundation. And I then started, you know, showing in museums and galleries all over. So I've been doing this for a number of years now, and it really is a passion. I do everything from watercolors and pen and inks to pastels, and then, of course, oils, acrylics, and bronze statues.
It's so interesting to me that this has become such a huge part of your life, and you've become so accomplished with it, but it doesn't sound like initially that was the goal. It was really about, a form of therapy.
Yes, it really did start out that way, but I've always loved art, you know, and I trained. I could have gone to college to study art. But I became an actress instead. And I've always designed and made my own clothes, my own homes. I've done that my whole life. I had even had a company when I was 15 years old, designing and creating clothing in London.
Oh, wow.
While I was going to school, because I couldn't afford my ballet shoes. So I did the only thing I knew how, which was to embroider and you know, do things like that. So I now, of course, you know, I have a major furniture line and a lot of other design things I do, including, of course, jewelry, the open heart jewelry at Kay and Jared's and Zales. But painting and designing has always been my passion. And it's something I'm able to do concurrently whilst I'm acting. So that's why I love it. And people sometimes say, you know, surely you should only be doing one thing and not the other. But I find that they all feed one another. You know, the themes of what I'm doing as an actress feed my art and vice versa. When I'm on location filming, I'm usually in extraordinary places. I see visuals that I just feel I want to paint. And So, you know, and then a lot of the times, you know, the images I come up with end up becoming, you know, rugs or all kinds of things, furnishings.
How does, you know, your work in the art world compare to your work in the acting world? Do you prefer one over the other now, or is that too much like picking a favorite child?
It's like picking my favorite child, really. I mean, yeah. You know, the real difference is that art is something I could do anytime, anywhere. I do it for...
Can you point to anything in particular as to who or what inspires your style of painting? Jane, do we still have you? We'll work on getting Jane Seymour back on the line. That line seems to have dropped. But again, we are going to be speaking with Jane Seymour ahead of her visit this weekend. She will be at the Mercato in Naples. Roadshow Gallery is going to be having a pop-up gallery at the Mercato of her works, along with the works of her son, who is an internationally acclaimed filmmaker and a fine art photographer himself. His name is Sean Michael Flynn. And she'll be making appearances this Saturday, the 10th, and also this Sunday, the 11th. Talking about her art, and we're working on getting Jane Seymour back so that we can continue that conversation. And again, I invite listeners to join if you want to connect with her. That number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Again, we're on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. We're just going to take a quick break right now while we work on reconnecting that line with Jane Seymour. And it appears we've got her back. Never mind. Jane Seymour, sorry about that. Glad to have you back.
You cut me off.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
I think I perfected the art of talking to myself. All right.
Sorry. So I think you were answering the question regarding, you know, what inspires your style of painting.
I would just say life, but also, you know, I'm a great lover of impressionist art. I go to museums whenever I can. I'm trying to steer myself a little bit more into abstract, but I really love what I know, which is, you know, flowers, landscapes, mothers and children. I love the innocence of small children, and then dancers, because I was a dancer. So a lot of times people paint dancers and get it all wrong because they, you know, they haven't danced, so they know that the body shouldn't be looking like that. So I paint things that I know, really.
Yeah.
Koi fish. I love to paint koi fish. I have koi fish at home, a lot of them.
Do you ever paint self-portraits?
I do, and I have a few there. I have I painted myself a couple of times, no, three times with Dr. Quinn, once from Summer in Time, and maybe a couple of times twice from Summer in Time. I did one from War and Remembrance. And I also take commissions, so, you know, I've done a number of pieces actually from Live and Let Die as well.
Oh, excellent.
From the James Bond film. Mm.
Is it different painting yourself as the subject?
Actually, I really enjoy painting myself because the emotion that I'm looking for, you know, I've already achieved in the photograph. So I can take from that and then I can add to it and I can, you know, make it more powerful, or take the face or the image or the expression that I want out of the background that it was originally in and put it into a background I want. But people do love my self-portraits. But I often paint myself in paintings where you don't see my face, so that the idea is that the person who owns the painting would put themselves into the moment that I was expressing.
Well, and we did, you know, talk about your background in dance as well. And I had mentioned in my introduction that you were asked to create costume and set designs for the Houston Ballet. How do sets compare to, say, you know, oil on canvas? It seems like a totally different type of project.
Yes, totally different. And when I was asked by Ben Stevenson, who at that time was the head of the artistic director for 25 years, the Houston Ballet, why me? He said that he loved my seascapes and my skies. So I said to him, well, just have your set designer, your team, send me a piece of paper, exactly the right measurements, and I will fill that space. I sent him a whole series of paintings that were the kind of things that he wanted, and they took what they wanted and made it work. And I went to the opening night, and there's nothing, never been more thrilled than suddenly seeing these people dancing in costumes I designed with a huge set that was taken from my much smaller paintings. It's fantastic.
And just regarding your own dance round, or background in dance round, I know you had once, you know, dreamed of joining England's Royal Ballet. What do you think it was that, you know, set you on a different path?
Well, originally I was actually, as a kid, I was told I had to do ballet because I had flat feet and actually a speech impediment as well. So, you know, that didn't stop me from pronouncing my R's in American, playing Americans all the time, and becoming a dancer. I danced with the Kirov at Covent Garden when I was, I think, 16 or 17. But I was never really built right for ballet. I got much further than my body should ever have allowed me. And then I injured my knees, and I was unable to perform anymore. So I became an actress instead. But, you know, any opportunity to dance, I'm out there. And as a lot of people know, they might have seen me on Dancing with the Stars when I discovered ballroom dancing was really a wonderful opportunity for me, rather late in my life, but something great to do. And I've danced in various movies, too. I've just done another dance movie called High Strung Free Dance coming out later this year.
Oh, all right. Something to look forward to then. And you know, going back to just the visual art, I know you were one of the official painters of the 2005 Torino Winter Olympics. How did that opportunity come about?
And actually, I've done three Olympics. I did that one, I did Beijing, and I did Vancouver.
Wow.
And the same people that were responsible for choosing artists to represent the American team, they picked me. So I did Torino first, and then I did the other two. And that was a huge honor and really a lovely thing to do. I've designed, my paintings have been used on champagne bottles for Corbel, which won some awards. And it was on a Discover card called Private, I don't know, it was called Private Edition or something like that. That was very exciting. It was one of my first watercolors. And it ended up being so successful that they kept it going for a couple of years. And they sold the original for Make-A-Wish Foundation at the Guggenheim and showed some more of my art. So that was the highlight of my life in my art world.
Yeah. And you've also, you know, created bronze sculptures, many of which are tied to your Open Heart campaign. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, the open heart is something that came to me one day when I was thinking about my mother's wisdom and when I was thinking about why it is that whenever I've been through something seemingly impossible to get through, like a terrible divorce, losing everything financially, health issues, all kinds of things, that always I somehow managed to get myself back. And my mother's wisdom had always been that when life was really tough and you felt you had something insurmountable to get through, your natural instinct would be to close up your heart. But if you could accept what had happened, which is the hardest thing, open your heart and reach out in some way to help someone else, you would have purpose. And when you have purpose in life, she said, it just comes back to you and fills you with love and an ability to heal and move forward. So I've written books and do a lot of public speaking on this. And at the moment, I've just got a new book out called The Road Ahead. But I then was drawing and painting, and I was doing a campaign for women's heart health. And every time I painted a heart, I always left it open. And I thought, oh, gosh, that reminds me of my mom. So I then joined two open hearts together and came up with the image that is now known as the Open Heart by Jane Seymour, which is now in jewelry as well.
Yes.
But the sculptures, what makes me excited about this is it's three-dimensional. You can climb all over them. You can pose in them. You can sit in them. They're now starting to go up in public places where people have bought them. There's one in a hospital, and there's one in Akron, Ohio. There's one about to go near the end of the year or end of the summer in New Orleans. There's, of course, one at my house. It's very exciting when a really large piece goes into a public place.
Right. Well,
the smaller sculptures are obviously available at the gallery as well.
Excellent. And we're talking with Emmy and Golden Globe winning actress and artist, sculptor, painter, writer, Jane Seymour, and much more, ahead of her visit to Naples this weekend. And you can join our conversation, too. Call in at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. And Jane, have you been to Southwest Florida before?
I was just about to tell you, yes, I've done a number of art shows. I have a number of major collectors in the Naples area. But also I had the huge honor of being the artist for the Naples wine auction many years back.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes,
and that was really fun. It was interesting, though, because they asked me to paint something that I'd never painted. I thought that hadn't chosen me, they'd want, you know, my style and my images, but they asked me to, the theme was circus, and I did a series of paintings, circus paintings, in watercolor, and they were so successful, they all sold immediately. I think I only have one or two left that I kept for myself.
All right. And you know, since you're, you know, into so many types of fine art, tell us about what people can expect from this upcoming exhibit in Naples.
Well, they'll see a lot of single close-ups of flowers. That's something I'm very well known for. They'll see some landscapes. They'll see some portraits, self-portraits. They'll see mothers and children on the beach, on a beach scene. Some very whimsical watercolor pen and inks that have invariably been turned into fabrics or designs for rugs and things like that. There's really a big selection, and some classic oils along the sort of style of John Singer Sargent, and then a lot of open heart images, which are much more modern.
All right, so a pretty broad cross section of your work.
Very broad,
yeah.
Very broad, yeah. And then of course my son Sean Michael Flynn, his incredible photographs are going to be there, and people, when they see those, they believe they're paintings. They look like paintings, and they're absolutely phenomenal. So a form of photography that he does, and he does amazing landscapes and cities, and they're hard to describe, but if people are interested, they can go to Sean M. Flynn Art or Sean M. Flynn Photography and have a preview of what it is. But if you come to the gallery, he will be there as well. I think they have 20 of his pieces there.
Yeah, I was checking out his website earlier in the week, and I, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit I got lost there for quite some time.
I know, they're really great. I'm very proud of him. And, you know, the gallery, the people, they love his art. So they said, would I mind sharing a show with him? And I said, of course not. What could be more wonderful than a mother-son show where you're showing different things? And clearly the impact of being family and living together has inspired him to do something quite unique and different himself.
Is this the first time that the two of you have had a joint show?
No, but he doesn't usually show up. It's quite rare for him to actually come to a show. But he has been to a few shows, and we both showed in Art Basel 1 year, and in Miami.
Nice.
But a lot of my collectors really love his artwork, and he's done quite well. So he's got lots of new stuff too. So I'm very excited about it.
And does he paint at all, like his mom?
Nope. He paints with a camera. He's also a filmmaker. He makes the most amazing music videos as well, and he also shoots very edgy kind of black and white on an Instagram site called Soul Capturing. He also does he does music videos for people like Shwayze, Incubus. The most recent one would be Ashley Campbell, Glenn Campbell's daughter. Does all the artwork for the album and Cold War Kids and LMFAO even.
Yeah, Sean's music video for Brave's Joan of Arc has gotten some really high acclaim.
Incredible.
Yeah, even from the likes of like Billboard magazine, for its strong message against sexual violence. And, you know, Sean said that he was inspired by his own traumatic Me Too experience, which I know must be hard to hear about as his mom. But I'm wondering if you think maybe he gets that artistic coping mechanism from you, since it sounds like, you know, you also turn to art during a difficult time.
Exactly. No, I think so. But he's always been passionate about movies and television and photography, and that's been his passion all over his whole life. And he went to Chapman University to study. He knew that I'd also had a Me Too moment. But I'm very proud of all my kids. But I must say, Sean's very unique, and he works so hard. He's just passionate about what he does. I'm really excited that his work's going to be shown today and then tomorrow.
And I know you did touch on this a bit at the beginning of the conversation, but I wanted to ask more about acting as well. Tell us about upcoming projects that we can expect to see you in.
Well, I'm in a series right now on Pop TV called Let's Get Physical. It's on Wednesday night. Somebody told me you can actually acquire it on Amazon after it's shown, and I'm sure it'll end up on Netflix or Hulu as soon as the whole series is run. It's a comedy. And I play, it's about the aerobics business then and now, and it's very funny, with Matt Jones and Christy Metopoulos and Anna Lynn McCord. And then I'm just about to do another movie in May, a comedy, which I can't really announce yet other than that I just read it, it's hilarious. I've got four movies, I think, in the can that are waiting to come out. One is War with Grandpa with Robert De Niro and Chris Walken. I have a great movie called Bereave with Malcolm McDowell and Keith Carradine. Another one with Parker Stevenson called Mistrust, which is a great movie. And then another one with Emma Roberts and Hayden Christensen called Little Italy. And then there's a whole bunch of other little indie movies. But yes, I've got a lot happening.
Excellent. Well, so much to look forward to there. And as far as your public appearances here in Naples on Saturday and Sunday, what can attendees perhaps expect? I mean, are you mostly going to be talking about your art and maybe providing more appreciation for your work through, those insights?
Everything there will be for sale, obviously. Mm. But if anyone has any interest in any pieces and they want to know the meaning behind them or why I painted them or if there's anything special about them, there usually is a story attached. Both Sean and I will be there to meet and greet with people. Mm. And then, of course, anyone who purchases, we take photographs of them and dedicate pieces and do all of that.
Fantastic. Well, that is all the time we have for this portion of the program, but thanks so much to our guest, Emmy and Golden Globe winning actress and visual artist Jane Seymour. An exhibition of Seymour's work, which will also include pieces by her son, Sean Michael Flynn, is coming to the Mercato in Naples through a roadshow pop-up gallery. Seymour will hold two public receptions. The first will be this Saturday, March 10th from 7 to 9 p.m., and the following day, Sunday, March 11th from 2 to 4. Jane Seymour, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. Truly an honor.
Thank you.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, Players with Theater Conspiracy are currently performing Henrik Ibsen's 1879 classic play, A Doll's House, at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers. The production's director and lead actress are with us in studio for a closer look at the play and an exploration of its themes, challenging traditional roles of men and women in a 19th century marriage, the limitations placed on women at that time, and how those themes resonate with audiences today. That's just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News.